You are listening to the Texas Standard.
As thousands of Central American migrants in Texas's border cities await immigration hearings, healthcare services remain scarce. In El Paso, a network of volunteer doctors are struggling to provide temporary care to migrants on the border. Anna Maria Berry-Jester has been writing about this story for Kaiser Health News, where she is senior correspondent, and she joins us now. Anna, thanks for taking a few minutes out for the Texas Standard.
Thanks for having me.
You've predominantly been reporting from El Paso and the level of healthcare migrants coming into the city you're receiving. What are some of the health concerns that migrants are facing? What are you hearing?
So I spent a few days with physicians in El Paso. They have volunteer clinics at shelters where people go when they're released from detention, but waiting to sort of move on to where their ultimate destination is. And so a lot of what they're seeing is, you know, routine kid stuff, coughs, cold, diarrhea, vomiting. But as any parent knows, those things can get worse quickly. But they also saw a lot of other things. There was a man with a MRSA infection, sometimes called a flesh-eating bacterial infection. Yeah. People with out-of-control diabetes because their medicines had been taken away in detention. Kids with bronchitis and lots of wounds on feet from the long journey travel, that kind of thing.
Sounds like a lot of these diseases may be communicable or infectious. How much of a risk is that?
Yeah, actually, most of them were not. You know, there were a lot of things that were sort of cough and cold that probably are viruses that parents said the kids had picked up in detention. And that probably does result from, you know, lots of people being kept in an enclosed space. So in that sense, yes, infectious, but not a lot of, you know, not what we think of as serious infectious diseases like tuberculosis, that kind of thing. They were not seeing.
So that's not a serious danger. I think there had been some alarm a few weeks ago when a member of Customs and Border Protection had suggested that there might be something like that going on, but that's not something that you're hearing much about. Tell us a little bit more about the physicians that are apparently, what, volunteers?
Yeah, so these are doctors who all, you know, live and work in El Paso. Most of them are born and raised there. A lot of them have experience doing sort of border health care. Some of them had worked in detention facilities under the previous administration, where they actually provided volunteer health care inside of ICE facilities in the past. Now they're doing it at these the shelters, which are, you know, sort of in old warehouses, roadside motels, an old nursing home, churches, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But they are mostly, a lot of them are pediatricians. But yeah, they're all doing this on a volunteer basis, some of them every single day.
But are they coming together individually, or are there nonprofits that are sort of putting these networks of doctors together?
So they work with a nonprofit called Annunciation House, which has organized the shelters and runs the shelter system. The doctors are sort of self-organized. There is one, Carlos Gutierrez, who's sort of a little bit of the leader, and he's helped kind of set things up. But they all, they kind of are assigned to different shelters, and they consider that their clinic. And then, you know, they go and staff it as they see necessary, depending on the number of people who come in each day.
So the doctors working through this core nonprofit, what about the federal government's role in providing healthcare, or do they have a role here?
You know, there were these very high profile deaths of two young children in December. And prior to that, there was not routine medical care. But since that time, they have tried to instate more healthcare availability in the detention facilities. And I did see several patients who had clearly gotten some kind of medical attention while they were in detention. But it is kind of problematic. So there's one really revealing case was a young girl who came out. She had this really severe rash on her legs, but she also had these deep bruises that can be a sign of something really serious. Mm-hmm. And she had obviously gotten care while in ICE detention. This is the kind of thing that any doctor would see it and say, we got to do some blood tests and, you know, figure out if something serious is going on. But then she had been released from detention without getting the results of those blood tests. Mm. So the doctor tried to go and get the results from the hospital. The hospital asked for a privacy waiver, which a lot of hospitals require, even though it's not required by law.
Right.
And then by the time the doctor went back to get it from the mother, they had actually left on a bus for another state.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I can see that there's just not, you have difficulty with just follow through or follow up for that matter. Yeah,
exactly. These doctors only have a few days with the patient. So a lot of what they're doing is trying to, you know, stabilize them, make sure that they're safe to travel, you know, get anything, any medications that they need immediately under control, that kind of thing.
Anna Maria Berry-Jester is a senior correspondent for Kaiser Health News. We'll link to her report at texasstandard.org. Anna, thanks again.
Thanks so much for having me.